Rabbi Willig is fond of quoting a Meshech Chachma in Parshat Ketuvim that notes the difference in formulation between two similar psukim in Re'eh and Nitzavim. Parshas Re'eh begins, Re'eh Anochi Nosein Lifnechem Ayom Beracha Uklala. And the Parshas Nitzavim, we have Re'eh Nasati Lifnechem Ayom Esachayim V'esatov V'esamav V'esara. So in Parshas Re'eh, the contrast is simply between Bracha and Klala. And Nitzavim, it's Chayim and Tov, Mavis and Ra. Says the Meshech Chachma, what changes between Re'eh and Nitzavim is the intervening mitzvah of Tshuva. As we have the beginning of Revi of Nitzavim, Rosheni and the double Parsha, Vayaki Avo Alecha called Dvarim Ela Bracha Vaklala, Asher Nasati Levanecha, Vashevos Al Vavecha Bechol, Vayim Asher Yidicha Hashem Akach Hashama. So then you will do tshuva, and then pasuk yud aleph ki mitzvah zos asher anochi mitzavcha yom lo nefleisim mimcha velo rechoka hi ki karov ilacha davar meod beficha vilvavcha lasoso. So at least according to Ramban, so Mishnah, that's talking about the mitzvah of tshuva. So before we have the opportunity of tshuva, then the consequence of misdeed is simply klala. Once you have the mitzvah tshuva and you fail to perform tshuva, then the consequence of Rachmana Litzlan is more severe. And that fits with what some explain. The Rambam famously has a slight emendation or twist on the Gemara Hashana Tezai in the name of Rav Kuspidai of Gimel Svarim Niftachim on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says that for the Beinonim, those are tluyim between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the final result is dependent on whether they're zachu or not, whether they have a zchus. The Rambam, Perek Gimel Hilchos Tshuva, says no, it's dependent on whether they do tshuva. Perek Gimel Halacha Beis. Abeinoni tolin lo ad yom kippurim, emas tshuva nechtam l'chaimim, lav nechtam l'misa. The Lech HaMish is bothered. Why the Rambam change from the Gemara? The Gemara says, if there's a zchus, any zchus, you can have many other zchus, and why is it all dependent on tshuva? So the Lech HaMishnah's answer is, sounds like inachanami, but if you have the opportunity to do tshuva, you don't do it, so that's another aveira on the list, and that'll tip the scale. But inachanami, if you had a million other zchuyos, that could tip the scale the other direction. But many explain otherwise. Chaim Shulevitz has this, and I believe Yitzchak Blaser has this. That no, it's not just one of many possible zechuyos or mitzvos. It's all dependent on tshuva. No, there's a tactical consideration. Maybe it's all dependent on tshuva because it's a new year. So the cheshbon of aveira, you can do all the mitzvos you want now, but that's on next year's cheshbon. We're taking care of last year's cheshbon. So the only way to change last year's cheshbon is through tshuva. But Rabbi Chaim Shulevitz and others have that, no, it's not just a tactical matter that you have to revisit last year's aveiros through tshuva. But if you have the opportunity to perform tshuva and you don't do it, so then there's no greater aveira than that. Kosh Baruch Hu gives us a gift of being able to do tshuva. And if we don't take advantage of that gift, so that's not just a lost opportunity, but that's a merit, that's a rebellion against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, who gave us this opportunity, and we're abandoning it. So Rabbi Willie points out that's perhaps why Re'eh is always laned the week of Rosh Chodesh Elul, and Nitzavim Yelch is always right before Rosh Hashanah. Before Chodesh Elul, before we have that opportunity of tshuva, it's Bracha V'Klala. Once we go through all Chodesh Elul, we're holding our Rosh Hashanah, we had a month of tshuva, we don't do it, then Rachmana Litzlan, the consequences are worse. Chaim Shmulevitz, in one of his shmuz imprinted in Sichas Musar, poses a question. The pasuk says, we just read, Kikarove lacha devar ma'od, v'fichal b'vavcha la'asaso, that according to the Ramban, that's a reference to mitzvah tshuva, and that's the context of the parsha here, these psukim. So the Torah says, it's very easy, so things are so easy to do tshuva, why do we find it so difficult to actually go through a proper tshuva process? So Chaim Shulevitz explains that there's a certain pattern that people find themselves in, a certain hergel, a certain comfort level, And if people are so enmeshed and entrapped in the way things normally work, in the incremental movements of life, so then it's a lot harder to do tshuva. And sometimes in order to properly do tshuva, you need a jolt. You need something to wake you up, to shake things up a little bit, to realize that that there's this need for tshuva. So he quotes, just as an example of that, the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Gimel that has the story of the Kfura of Yaakov Avinu, that that Yosef and the brothers reach Maris HaMachpelah, and they're about to bury Yaakov Avinu, and Esav's there. And Esav insists that he has a right to Maris HaMachpelah, and not Yaakov. So there's back and forth. Esav says, show me the property deed. The property deed is back in Egypt. So Naftali, who's the fastest of the brothers, says he's going to run back. And then Chushim Ben Dan, who is deaf, doesn't realize what's going on. And he just sees that Yaakov Avinu is Nital Mutal Bibizayon. And he takes matters into his own hand and kills Esav. So Esav Chaim Shulevitz, why is it that Chushim Ben Dan has this reaction? He takes this initiative, and he's bothered by the fact that Aaron of Yaakov Avinu is Mutal Bibizayon. So why is it that Chushim is the only one who had this reaction? Why didn't the other brothers have the reaction? Everyone should have noticed that the Aaron of Yaakov Avinu was Mutal Bibizayon. So how could the other brothers have stood for this? He says that the difference is the following. Esav's there, and the brothers begin to engage Esav in conversation. A question, answer, conversation, and they're holding in these conversations. So at any particular point in time, they assume, okay, well, we're getting there, we're getting somewhere, we're making progress. And they don't see the bigger picture that while they're having these conversations and they're going back and forth, Yaakov Avinu's Mutal Bibizayon. It was only Chushim Ben Dan who didn't hear anything, who wasn't aware of these conversations and didn't know what was going on. He just was able to take a step back. He just saw, zeroed in on that reality that Yaakov Avinu was Mutal Bibizayon and acted on that. So sometimes if we're just in the incremental step-by-step of regular life and our regular activities, it's harder to see the big picture and harder to have that that impetus to do tshuva. He also quotes along these lines a medrash in the Yalkut. So let's pull it up on the screen and look at it together. So Yalkut Shemoni Parshas Toldos, Os Kuf Tesvav. So the Medrash tells the following story. Yakon Ish Tsraros, Ben Achosa Shel Yossi Ben Yoezer Ish Tsreda, Davarachiv Susia B'Shabta. So apparently, Reb Yossi ben Yoezer had a nephew who left the derech and was Mechal Shabbos, and he was riding a horse on Shabbos. And at that time, Yossi ben Yoezer is being taken out to be killed. Azal kumi shir yasa lemitzlava. The Amar Leila Reb Yossi, chami susya d'arkevi mare. So his nephew, the one who left the derech, said to Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, look, we're both riding on horses. You're riding on a horse to be executed, and I'm riding on a horse going on my merry way. Amar lei, im kein lemach isav kal v'chomer l'osei ritzona. So if this is what happens to a person who left the derech, a person who is machas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning if you perceive yourself as going on your merry way and everything being fine, if that's what happens to you and things are good for you, then kavachomer l'osei ritzono. then all the more so, even though it looks to you as if I'm being taken out to be killed, ba'olam hazeh, but in the big picture, kal v'chomer, what good is in store for those who are osei ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Amalei, asa adam ritzon yoser mimcha, did anyone follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will more than you? So then he took the opposite track. Okay, you perceive me as being punished by being taken out to be killed. So if that's what happens to Osei Ritzono, you acknowledge that I'm the Osei Ritzono, then what's going to happen to you? Nichnas Bava Davar Ke'eres Chal Achna. So this Musar came into him like the venom of a snake. And then this nephew decided to kill himself four times, and that was the inspiration that he got. So Yosef ben Yoezer has this vision of what happened to his nephew after his nephew died. Amar Oilisha Kala Kinmani Zel Gan Eden. So he said that his nephew preceded him to Gan Eden. So something like the Elazar ben Dudaya kind of story. So whether that's the proper form of tshuva, generally speaking, that's not. But whatever the circumstances were there that warranted it and brought him to Gan Eden, at least according to representation of Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, Rav Chaim Shulev says, you see that sometimes you just need a jolt to change your perspective. And you know, a single conversation, a single one-line piece of musa in the right context could serve as that jolt, as that wake-up call to change your whole perspective on life. So, you know, sometimes we don't want these wake-up calls, but sometimes, Baruch Hachenu, we have them, and sometimes there are certain changes in the world that can't help but have an effect on people in different ways at different times, but in a way that should cause us to look back and have a certain degree of introspection and a jumpstart to do the appropriate tshuva. Today's 9/11, I imagine. None of you were probably old enough to have active recollections of 9/11, but or very limited ones. But 9/11, which also was mamish, the end of Chodesh Elul, Likras Rosh Hashanah, was that kind of a wake-up call for all of humanity. And in many ways, what we've experienced over the last few months is also a wake-up call, also a jolt, a shock to the system. Many things after 9/11 were never the same, even 19 years later. And many things we don't know what will be, but presumably it will be a long time before the full pre-pandemic normalcy returns in B'derech HaTeva. And even after that, there will be presumably changes. And some of those should be Latov, that we should take those lessons that are appropriate from what's been going on, and that should spur us to growth in many areas in our Avodas Hashem, in our interpersonal relationships, in our understanding of the world, and what our job is in the world. And things are supposed to change us and change our perspectives and push us in the right direction to grow both personally and collectively. So we're not, we don't look for these jolts, we don't look for these jump starts and these shocks to the system, but when they happen, we have to face them and take the appropriate lessons. Not our purpose to speculate as to what the lessons are, but it's definitely Kadosh Baruch Hu sending us messages. We aren't necessarily equipped to fully understand the scope of the messages, but there definitely are messages. And as we get into the final countdown before Rosh Hashanah, we just have to be conscious that there are those messages, and we have to do our avoda to internalize as best possible, to do the tshuva that we that's expected of us, and to be zocha b'din on our behalf, on the behalf of our families, on behalf of our communities, on behalf of Klal Yisrael, as we daven that tifla shana v'kalulasa, that we should emir tzashem have a fresh, healthy start, and everything should move in the right direction for us and for Klal Yisrael.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.